The Game Sports Show and Game Entertainment Media want to give a quick stick tap to LivingSisu.com. Sisu is a Finnish word for determination, tenacity, and resiliency. LivingSisu.com wants to activate your lifestyle by offering discounts and exclusive offers from your favorite sports brands. Sign up is free at LivingSisu.com, where you will earn instant offers that will help you save on sports tools, products, supplements, and so much more. Be sure to check it all out at LivingSisu.com.
Booyah, and it's time for the Game Sports Show, powered by GEM. You're listening to the Game Sports Show on thegamesportsshow.com and through our media and podcast platforms, Spotify, Apple, Amazon, Podbean, Podtail, and also Facebook and or Instagram. And we're here live inside Sports Center Bar and Grill, and here for its famous Wednesday 75-cent wing nights. And oh, they are absolutely delicious. The beverages are nice and cold and flowing. Obviously, we're not going to name some brands off the hop. They got all the kind of brands of beer that you want here. They got great pizza. There's great food, great service overall inside here at Sports Center Bar and Grill in Sault Ste. Marie, Ontario, named the Sioux's best sports bar 4 years in a row, and that ain't a fluke. There's a reason why it is named that. Now, getting right to my co-host here tonight, I am going to Jamie Antonello first. Jamie, how are you?
I'm good, boss. Happy to be back. Second week in a row after months and months and months of missing football and missing
2 weeks
and
in a row
this
now.
Place.
Yeah, yeah, it's been fantastic to finally be back. Last week we had a big segment. Obviously, we had a big, long intro by yours truly, David McKeag, doing a long introduction about the reformatting of our show. So make sure that you check that out, because we have a lot of great things coming for the show, a lot of changes and a lot of great upcoming things. And make sure you check out our previous editions of the show, including that Monday ESPN 1400 edition, and also our Tuesday upload with the special edition upload, our most recent one here with Gavin Morgan. And you got to check out the story about his fight with Colby Armstrong. It was absolutely hilarious. Colby Armstrong was actually on Spit and Chicklets. I think everyone knows who that is. On episode 13, Colby Armstrong was talking about that fight. It's absolutely hilarious. Make sure you check that out. And you can get the link on our Instagram, Facebook, our website. It's everywhere. Any issues, let us know. Going over now from Jamie to sliding over to Justin. Justin, my friend, how are you doing?
Not too bad. Can't really complain this week. I mean, got some nice weather. Got to do the roof this weekend, so if anyone's available,
Had the best Sunday you've had in a while this past week.
Till about 2 minutes in the fourth quarter. Yeah, it wasn't bad.
Fair enough.
And now to going to the one and only EJ Russell. Now, this guy.
No!
What's going on, my man? How's it going? You know what? We couldn't get you on last week. We finally get you on this week. You're going to actually be on our show frequently throughout our In the Pocket segment going forward. So obviously now are you just a part of the ESPN 1400 edition? You've now brought your talents over the border to the Canadian side of the show officially.
Well, I'm bringing my talents to the North Beach, baby. Listen, last week was a little bit of a shit show. For those of you that don't know what happened, I got bumped thanks to the Raptors game. So I hope y'all Canadians enjoyed it, because I won in double overtime and got your boy the bump. But, no, happy to be here as always. Dave, you and I talked about it. We're on to Cincinnati. That means two things, and we're getting ready to talk about it in the pocket. So Cincinnati is going to be a topic of discussion. But happy to be here with you boys. Thank you for having me. Excited to be in this segment. Hopefully, quite a bit going forward, and it sounds like that's the plan.
That is definitely the plan. And we have, like I mentioned, a lot of big plans for the Game Sports Show. Now, the first part of the show, I'm going to remind everybody that since our show is so different, sporadic in the format because of some things going on in the world, I'm not going to dive into what I talked about for the first 15 minutes of last week's news show here on the Canadian side of the Game Sports Show. But obviously, In the Pocket and football is a big presence on our Sports Center Edition shows, and it's obviously going to continue going forward. But due to the lower end content going on right now in local side, where we don't have much, you know, obviously we're going to have to kind of compensate for in terms of specific content. So I want everyone to know that I will tell you what we're going to talk about on the show, and I will let you know kind of the format of the show. So here on the first part, it's going to be EJ and Jamie doing a lot of the spearhead about some football news, especially on the college front, and talking about week 1, week 2. Myself and Justin will be jumping in to let the two boys do their thing. Then we're going to have a break, and when we come back, it's just going to be myself, Jamie, and Justin for our picks for the week two, because we have our competition that we always have every year. And then we'll have another break, and after that be part three, where myself and Justin will be spearheading kind of the NHL and NBA discussion to wrap up the show. So we only got about an hour here, fellas. Let's dive right into it right away. I won't jump into what the show is going to be doing, because you just listened to that first 15 minutes of the first show of our first news show officially post-COVID. Hey, Jamie, I'm sure you had to fast forward that a little bit when you rewatched that or re-listened to it last week.
Oh, I never listen to you. I just never do.
You just skip my parts and go right to you.
All the time. I hear you enough.
I like that. That's hilarious. Now, I'm actually going to go to you first to bring up the Facebook post from EJ, and then I'm going to let EJ dive into it. I'll let you transition, EJ.
Well, Big Ten football is back with a scheduled October 24th start date, I believe, which somehow they think they're going to be able to get enough games in. I mean, I'm just excited that there's more college football. I prefer watching college over anything. But I know EJ's probably got a lot to talk about there. So go after it, buddy.
Well, listen, the Big Ten announced that they're going to be coming back October 24th, like you said. And they're going to come back in a fury. And a lot of people ask the question, just like you did, which is how many games are going to be played? How do we make this look? And the truth of the matter is we don't quite know yet. But boy, does the Big Ten look silly for not playing football last weekend. I mean, everyone else played. Everybody's eyes were glued to that Notre Dame game this weekend, even though playing Duke, it wasn't much of it. I mean, there wasn't a whole lot of college football action, but the action that there was, people were watching, okay? And there's no reason that brands, okay, I'm not talking about universities right now. I'm talking about a brand, Ohio State, Michigan, Michigan State, Penn State, Nebraska, Wisconsin, Iowa, those teams need to be playing football, okay? And the fact that Big Ten football is back is fantastic. Now, people want to say, what's the schedule going to look like? I think I have the perfect answer, and I think that's an 8-game in-conference schedule. Don't play any out-of-conference games, okay? Part of the reason that the Big Ten decided to postpone was because of COVID-19. Now, if that's the reason that we're postponing it, then I think we should stay localized. There's no reason to play out-of-conference games. You play an 8-game conference schedule, play 6 teams in your division, 2 teams from the other side, okay? You got a decent year put together, and you're going to end up with probably 4 teams in you can do an 8-game regular season schedule and do a semifinal and a final Big Ten game, okay? So you can have a 10-game schedule. You can do it in 10 weeks starting October 24th and still be ready for the college football playoff, okay? You're going to leak a little bit into the bowl season, but guess what? This is a different year. Bowl season is going to look different than it ever has. So the Big Ten, I think you can expect something like an 8-game schedule in conference, no out-of-conference games, have maybe a semifinal and a final conference championship game to get to the number 10, so that going into the college football playoff, you have a decent number of wins to consider yourself worthy of being in the college football playoff. But the only team that anybody's discussing right now is my Ohio State Buckeyes. Yes, Michigan looks like they could do some things. Wisconsin can make some noise. Iowa always finds a way to ruin somebody's year. And, of course, Penn State's still there. Michigan State going through some rebuilding. But the only team in the Big Ten right now that looks like they're worthy of really putting a team on the field is Ohio State. Michigan seemed to be the team that they were claiming for medical reasons was their biggest holdup of why they didn't want to play. And I get that Michigan is a fantastic educational university. They have many very learned doctors. I'll sound a little educated here. But Michigan's a great university. They have great healthcare, and I respect their opinion. But they were the biggest holdup in the Big Ten getting back into play. So I'm glad to see that we're back playing football. Justin Fields, the quarterback for the Ohio State University, is very excited that football's back. I know Jim Harbaugh's pumped. I think we're all excited to see football back in the Midwest, and I get that the majority of the listeners of this podcast and this show are Canadian, but guess what? If you love football, you got to be excited to see football coming back to the Wild North here, baby. Let's play.
Woo-woo! I like that. Now, you got Jim Harbaugh, you mentioned. I liked his quote today. I think it's actually – I don't know why it hasn't been used. Stay positive, test negative.
Well, that was the tail end of his quote. Yeah,
there's more. He said, great news, say, over the past month. I could sense it.
Well, the third sentence of that quote was, wear khakis from Kohl's.
I thought that was like everyone's college motto. It might be. I'm pretty sure.
What, wear khakis from Kohl's or test negative?
It was fine.
State. That's so, Jim, you're a Michigan fan, right, Jimmy? I believe you are.
No,
I am.
And I'm not debating with what EJ said there. It makes he's right. I mean, Michigan held up their board of trustees, the governors, whatever. They were all over it. Yeah. Jim Harbaugh wanted to play football from the beginning, but I mean, he only has so much power.
Yeah. Speaking of Jim Harbaugh,
I think Jim Harbaugh only wants to play football.
He wants to play football and work
and wear khakis.
And use Microsoft Excel. That's all he wants to do.
Maybe have a headset on his face or a headset on his head once in a while too, with the thing up. He's one of the most intense
people I've ever met.
100%. But now
he's got to have cleats. He wears them black cleats on the sideline too. Give him his cleats.
So speaking of him, is he obviously Michigan hasn't had the most success with him yet in terms of I know that people are holding off, but is he good? Is he the best? One of the best college coaches still, given this. Like, do you still think he? Would you rate him a top two coach in NCAA?
No.
No, you wouldn't?
And I'm a Michigan fan, but there's no way I would.
Where do you rank him?
I don't even know if he's in the top 10, to be honest, right now. I mean, it's just because you got to look at the body of work. I mean, he hasn't been able – the closest they got to a Big Ten championship ended with a terrible block punt against Michigan State, like, 7 years ago. It was a disaster. And I still hate that game.
I thought that was very nice.
Yeah, I thought you would. But no, I mean, Ohio State's still the favorite. Justin Fields is a Heisman candidate. I mean, they're still the favorite. Michigan probably is the number two right now. I think Penn State lost a lot. Wisconsin's very good still, but they lost Jonathan Taylor, but they are going to pull up another running back, of course. But I think it's interesting. I'm just excited football's back. I don't know how they're – I think even that 10 weeks there, EJ, that you said, even that's still like, yeah, you're right, it's going to push into bowl season. I could even see – 9 weeks, so you just eliminate the semifinals, you just go straight up conference final and just hope for the best. Or I could see a 6-week season. I mean, there's lots of options. We have no idea yet, but I hope.
But you don't think that it. But yeah, but the SEC and the ACC, they've in the Big 12, they've been playing, so they're going to be in double digit wins. So you don't think that a Big 10 team's going to need more than 9 wins to propel them to a playoff?
Well, I just don't know if they're going to be able to fit it in. I mean, as is with the October 24th start. If you go to 10 weeks, what does that put you at? New Year's? Like, you're still pushing it at that point.
Yeah, but think it's still
New Year's.
Is it new? November 24th.
I was going to say, I don't think I'm that bad at math.
No, you're pretty much New Year's.
Yeah.
Week
10 would be December 26th.
Because like your mid-season is going to be your Thanksgiving.
Yeah, exactly. That's week 5.
Well, I mean, my Thanksgiving is every Sunday when the NFL's on, but...
True. And on his side of things, his Thanksgiving's November. Ours is next week.
I know.
Obviously.
I went right over your head.
It did.
Yo soy es un americano, mi amigos.
His Thanksgiving's way better because I get 2 days off at work. And by 2 days, I mean I take two vacation
days.
Well, it's not that much better when you have to watch the Dallas Cowboys every year.
Every Sunday. See, one thing that I saw that was interesting from that quote that you uploaded, EJ, from our friends and our broadcasting partner with ESPN, they said football players who tested positive for COVID-19 must wait at least 21 days to return to competition. And then there's more
conversation going on. Yeah, if you hit more than 5% of the team, then that team's disqualified for what? Yeah,
the Big Ten will use a color-coded scheme, green, orange, and red, for both team positivity rates and population positivity rates. So...
it's like a forest fire rating.
It really is.
So they got different codes in place, but you got to admit, if a team is, let's say, I'm going to use an example. I'm pulling a baseball reference to this. If a team turns into like the Miami Marlins, okay?
That's what he's afraid of, right?
If that happens, you got to think that team is not going to be playing for the rest of the year. You got the 21 days.
Well, look at what happened with the LSU Tigers right now. Like, it's chaos. We don't know what's going on still.
Well, let me say this to you guys. What if, with as bad as the governor has been by a large majority of people's opinion, in Michigan, what if one of the teams that tests positive is Michigan or Michigan State? You might get the whole Big Ten shut down again.
True.
See, now, EJ, just more from you in terms of how the NCAA is approaching this. Are they doing it right, or do you think it's the right idea, or do you think maybe keeping the postponement would have been a better call? I know you mentioned that schools need to have football, and if it's safe to go, you get the green light. But overall, you look at everyone's safety. If something happens, just to even one team, and that one team played another team, that other team's going to play another team. That's how this spreads. That's kind of how it is. Is the NCAA doing this right with their scheme, with their coding system, with this date in place to give it another couple, basically a month and some of preparation before kickoff, if you will?
Well, the worst part about right now is that we don't know if anybody's doing anything right. The numbers will come out. I mean, we're going to have athletes that are going to get sick. Okay, it's going to happen. If you think it's not, you're a moron. Okay, this you can go to the store right now and get sick. It's just a fact of the world that we're living in.
Yeah.
So you do the best that you can, and you try your best to put a product on the field. There might be a team or two that gets suspended, but guess what? The great thing about the Big Ten is that there's 14 teams. Okay, you can still get away with an 8, 9, 10 game schedule.
The
Big Ten will find a way to put a product out there. I hope that they get to a 10 game schedule, because I think a 10-0 champion looks a lot better on paper than a 9-0 champion.
Well, it absolutely does. I just don't think logistically we have enough time. Unless the college football playoff is pushed until
optimism.
February.
No? What about optimism?
Well, I love optimism, but there's...
the one great thing about 2020 is that there apparently are no rules. So just, like, let it ride.
2020 may be a 15-month year.
Yeah, you
might delay 2021 and make it 2020 until April.
Winter now starts in June.
December is coming. I'm going to lose it.
Oh, goodness. Now, any final thoughts, EJ, with college football before we transition to our week one reaction?
I think that Clemson underwhelmed me this week, only putting up 38. It was under 40, 38-something points. I think it was like a 38-6 game, something like that, which was the score of the Browns game, which is terrible. But Clemson, a little bit underwhelming. Okay, Trevor Lawrence, you got to show me a little bit something better than that against that team. Against Wake Forest, you got to put up better numbers than 38 to any single-digit number. It's got to be in the 50s there if you want to pretend that you're a Heisman candidate. Justin Fields, very excited to come back. I think Ohio State's going to be on an absolute war path this year, ready to make a run at the college football playoff, if not the national championship. But the team that I think everybody needs to pay attention to is Oklahoma. Okay, this is a team that the last couple of years has made some noise. A couple Heisman Trophy winners in Baker Mayfield and Kyler Murray. Jalen Hurts was a Heisman finalist in his senior year there in Oklahoma. Lincoln Riley knows what he's doing, okay? That is going to be a good football team. And the quarterback that they have now, I'm not going to say his name because you need to go look it up. The kid's a stud, okay? Oklahoma has potential to make some noise this year, make a run at the championship, especially if Ohio State and any team that comes out of the Big Ten is going to have a shortened schedule. Look at Oklahoma to make some noise this year.
And it's going to rattle other teams' cages.
If you want a sneak peek of that, just go watch QB1 on Netflix and you'll be able to find them.
Jake Fromm's a god.
Literally a god. It's going to be
an original QB1.
It's literally going to be interesting to see how everything goes this year. Just obviously, you can use a lot of kind of measuring sticks with the NHL, the NBA, how much success they've had, but it's different for each sport.
Because they bubbled.
Exactly. Yeah. It's difficult to do that
but
in football.
But you can't bubble the NFL.
No, you can't. You can't bubble the NFL, NCAA. You can't even bubble baseball.
At the Thursday night game. Look at the Thursday night game with the Chiefs. Even with 16, 20,000 people in the stands, I don't care. That tomahawk chop got me going.
Well, it's still, yeah, that's gold.
It is. Now, that's a great transition now, okay, to that first game of the season, okay? And the Chiefs played against the Texans. It's 34-20. We're not going to go to each game, name the score. Everyone knows what happened. We're just going to pick out some highlights, go around the table, do some discussion before we let the beautiful, I call him, EJ Russell. I don't know if you've ever been called beautiful before, EJ.
Every day, brother.
Every day. Now, limited in-person attendance. Deshaun Watson, you know, one TD, one INT. David Johnson, I got him in fantasy this year.
Terrible
I'm hoping, I know. I have him and Nick Chubb. And I think that was another bad choice.
Another
sorry.
Terrible choice.
You know, but really overall, the Texans are not at the same level as of the Chiefs, obviously.
Well, all they have is Deshaun on offense.
Literally. Patrick Mahomes just threw three touchdowns. I say
not
Chubb.
True.
You know, but overall, the Chiefs looked very strong in that opener. And the limited in-person attendance is what I wanted to get to. Are you for the limited in-person attendance, or do you think the show started with no in-person attendance? Then I'll go to Justin first, then go to EJ, then Jamie, then, yeah.
I mean, personally, the Colts were involved in the only other game this weekend that had fans in attendance, and I would have preferred that Jacksonville didn't have fans to help that rally. So that's my opinion there. Bonus for the fans that get to go. I mean, I've got a friend at work who's a Minnesota Vikings season ticket holder and can't do jack shit about it this year.
That
so.
Sucks, yeah.
Yeah, that's awful.
And the NFL needs fans. I think that's a they kind of – they're like me and chicken wings. That's how it goes.
75-cent wig night here at SportsCenter Bar and Grill in Sioux, Ontario. EJ, limited in-person attendance.
You know what? If you can get fans in the game, let them in. The game's better with fans. Anything's better than nothing. If you're, and please keep it regionalized, okay? If your area is not doing well, please don't have thousands of people go gather together. But if it works for you, it works for you. I mean, the NFL is a better product when there are fans in the stands. I know I referenced the Kansas City Chiefs, but There's nothing cooler, okay? You want to see the hairs on your arm raise up, go look up the ESPN Monday Night Football broadcast on YouTube. It'll be the first thing that you find, Arrowhead Stadium Tomahawk Chop. It's like a 3.5-minute long video, and it just blows your mind to see all these people just hammering down, just cheering the same thing. It's an incredible, powerful thing to have that many people together cheering for one purpose, not just for the players on the field. Yes, it makes a better product there, but it brings that thing to your life that makes you feel like Sundays matter. You know, like, not talking about religion. If you're religious, that's fine. Nobody's judging you, but no, it's very good for you. Like, I'm not trying to say anything about that, but like, for me, the highlight of my Sunday, no matter what it is, almost always Cleveland Browns football. Now, this week I get to enjoy it tomorrow on Thursday, but I just, Sunday is a tradition. It's a thing. College football on Saturdays, it's a thing. We're just, have it back. No matter if there's fans there or not, if you can go, go. If it's limited, I hope you get a seat. But just enjoy what you get, where you get it, and do your best to make sure that as soon as we can all go back.
Jamie, final thoughts, limited in-person attendance.
Yeah, I mean, the people that are going to be clamoring to get into the game are the people that probably don't really care about the COVID restrictions all that much.
They're going anyways.
Yeah, so, I mean, they're going to get in there. They're not going to be the people that complain. I mean, I think the stadiums are doing a good job with distancing people, so let them go. I mean, we'll see if there's if it ends up leading to more cases, then I'm sure the NFL will probably come down with a sanction and say no fans, but as long as there's football on, I'm happy.
You know what? Overall, like I said, that was your final thought with it, and I just can't wait till normality. That's all I want to say about it. But I don't even know what normal is. Almost it feels like anymore. But I'm not going to get into that whole sob story there. But overall, that wasn't the first game we really want to talk about. It's just want to bring up the first game, bring up the limited in-person attendance. So obviously, we don't talk about every game to its point because of time restrictions. And with all four of us together, especially with myself and EJ, with the times we like to talk more so me than EJ, because EJ actually kind of, you know, stays on point more than I do in particular. So honestly,
nah.
we're going to go around the table. Okay. And you're going to pick a game each. We're going to talk about that game briefly. And then before we get to final thoughts, if we have any other points we want to bring up, we'll bring it up. I know there's injuries that we might want to bring up that we may not include in some games we bring up.
Thanks for pointing at me.
And, hey, I got Michael Thomas in fantasy. That sucks absolute horseshit, too, I'll tell you right now. But Steelers get the W against the Giants. But there's games we get to talk about. Justin, I'm going to go to you first. Then I'm going to go to EJ, Jamie. Then I'll go last. We'll kind of go in the same order we just did previously. Justin, all you.
Well, I'm going to theme this one a little bit. New faces and new places. Mike McCarthy is the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys.
Oh.
I thought the Cowboys looked okay trying to implement the new offense on Sunday night. The Rams, I thought, you know, that Malcolm Brown looks substantially better. But as far as the Cowboys, new offense, I thought Dak looked good. The past game looked good. That's a thumbs up for the Cowboys.
I thought Dak looked confident. He's looked confident in the last couple of years, but I thought he looked pretty well. And I think that the Rams, like, that's the best the Rams offense has looked probably since they lost the Super Bowl for me. So I think they're getting back there.
See, overall, McCarthy with Green Bay, okay, now going over to Dallas, you know, which obviously is not as weird as, you know, Tom Brady making a debut for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, which get to that in a few minutes. But I really think the Cowboys, man, I've always been a big fan of Zeke. I think a lot of people are fans of Zeke. I think a lot of people think Dak is overrated.
Zeke's
and I don't know if it's – I forget who really does think that he is overrated. But overall, okay, like you don't have the same – you don't have the success, obviously, against the Rams. Rams pull away with a win in that game. But I feel Zeke played really well that game. I feel Dak didn't throw any interceptions. I feel like he was comfortable in the pocket. Amari Cooper, you know, I think he's a great receiver for Dak. I just really think the Cowboys are going to have to really rely on consistency this year. And I think that's what McCarthy's going to have to try to bring to the table, you know, is consistency and try to get the best out of these players, which I think he has the ability to do so. You know, my overall opinion about the Cowboys is I think it was a good change for a coach.
Well, I think the Cowboys, the players needed a fresh face as far as a coach went.
Yeah.
And you know, McCarthy needed that new team as well. I mean, the year off probably benefited as well. He's probably come up with some interesting schemes we're going to see roll out.
But you shouldn't be surprised about the Rams either. I really don't think they're a bad football team. Heck, you know, I don't think they're better than the Cowboys, but they did overall win the game. Goff played all right. Even though he didn't throw a touchdown, interception, but he played situational football.
You have an offense that, like, their O-line is okay. They're old, but they're okay. Goff is now, what, third year with McVay?
He's pretty adequate. Systems rolling. Yeah.
And then you have, like, absolute just studs on defense.
Aaron Donald's a fucking monster.
Man. Malcolm Brown, though, too, eh? Like, whoever had him on first week of fantasy, you got a couple, two, three points.
They have about 13 running backs, so, I mean, there's pressure to perform there.
Yes.
Even Robert Woods, you know, there's a guy that last year I don't think lived up to the expectation of what he was supposed to do.
He had a very good game, though.
He did. 105 yards.
Him and Cooper Kupp are going to be consistent.
Yeah,
so.
And they had Cooks last year.
I think you guys are missing the biggest point in that game, and that's that as much experience as that Dallas offensive line has, how does Zeke not rush for more yards? How do they not score more touchdowns? That's terrible. As much talent as they have on that offensive line in Dallas, they should be, even with Aaron Donald, they should be running over everybody.
I think Aaron Donald.
He's pretty good,
Zeke,
man. I don't know. He's pretty good.
Donald's the best player I've ever seen on the defensive side of the football in my life. Also looks like a chiseled god when he works out in a gym. The guy's a freak of nature. He's the most talented person that's ever played defense in my entire life that I've ever seen.
Definitely. He knows how to play. I can run through him, though, no problem.
Yeah, okay.
I'd take that bet?
I'd pay good money to see that.
Oh, God. He'd dislocate my back even worse. I'd be in a merge.
We could make that a pay-per-view.
Oh, literally. It wouldn't be a two-second pay-per-view. Not worth the money.
Do you have a life insurance policy taken out? Because Hannah might be getting
the over would be in how much seconds does Dave die?
Exactly. Two.
Now, EJ, I'm going to give you a bit more of the floor. Do you have any final thoughts with the Rams and the Cowboys on Justin's picked game of week one?
No, Brown did a nice job running the football. Aaron Donald is absolutely a monster, though, but I think Dallas was a little underwhelming. I don't think, and I'll be the first one to say it, I'm not a Mike McCarthy fan. I think Aaron Rodgers made Mike McCarthy look good. Mike McCarthy just gave Aaron Rodgers what he wanted, whereas some other coaches maybe are trying to do what they think works with his talents. But Aaron Rodgers is too smart for something like that. And I don't think Dak Prescott's the same kind of quarterback. I do believe that Dak Prescott is a smart, intelligent quarterback.
Yeah, I just
don't think that he has the amount of arm talent that Aaron Rodgers has to be able to make the throws that in his head he knows and he thinks he can make. So I don't know that Mike McCarthy is going to work. I still think the Cowboys are a team that you can see contending for a playoff spot or will be in the playoffs. I don't know that they'll win division. I'm thinking wild card. But I'm not a big Mike McCarthy guy. And I think that the way that I've seen him coach football in the past, I don't think that that's going to play well to Zeke Elliott's talents. And that's the best football player on your team. So you got to make sure you feed him the ball.
Like that. Now, What game would you like to bring up quickly for yourself, EJ, to dive into to talk about?
I mean, the game that I got to talk about is tomorrow night, Browns and the Bengals. And not just because this is my team. But this is a great game. Okay, you have two quarterbacks, both number one overall picks, both Heisman Trophy winners, both guys that are expected to carry their franchises for years to come, facing off on each with each other, against each other, on
each other. Who cares? All the same.
On each other, whatever, man. Everybody's just getting in for a party. It's going to be a great football game, I think. I hope to see the Browns defense dominate a little bit. I do think that you can expect to see Joe Burrow keep his team in the football game. However, Baker Mayfield is a quarterback that in four out of his last six NFL starts in the opening drive has thrown an interception. He has to come out and be successful on the opening drive. I think he's got to lean on Nick Chubb, one of the best running backs in the NFL, in my opinion, one of the best downhill runners when you give him a great when you give him the right scheme. Nick Chubb is a guy that you can lean on. Last week, not a lot of success, but you're playing against the Baltimore Ravens, who added Calais Campbell, who on the first drive, I think, had a sack, a tackle for a loss, and two deflected passes, one of which led to an interception.
We're going to have an easier week this week.
What's that?
The Ravens look so good, EJ. Like, honestly, I think that I've said this, and this is coming from a Steeler fan. The Ravens are winning that division this year. Okay, I'm not saying
I have the Ravens winning the Super Bowl.
Yeah, man. Like, the Ravens look. I was watching that game against the Browns, and nothing against the Browns. I feel the most bad, even between Lions or Browns fans, I don't even know which one I feel bad for the worst, to be totally honest. I think Lions more, but sorry to say.
I'd rather get blown out like my team did than be a Lions fan this weekend.
Literally, like, I just, when I watch the Ravens, I'm like, yep, that is a good football team. That is how football is played. That's, I know you guys are more of the expert side of football, but that's what, in my honest opinion.
If you watch that Browns-Ravens game, Lamar Jackson was boring, and he still scored three touchdowns. I mean, this guy is MVP-level talent and led the league in touchdown passes last year, and that includes Hall of Famer Patrick Mahomes. So,
is that good?
Lamar Jackson's a stud, and if he can build off of what he did last year, I think if he throws for 40 touchdowns this year, I'll put anything on it right now if somebody wants to place a little wager. If Lamar Jackson throws 40 touchdowns this year, the Ravens are winning the Super Bowl.
Like that. Now, to keep the ball rolling, obviously, EJ, that was a great point to bring up. Jamie, I'm going to go to you, and then I'll keep my game after you a little bit brief because I know we got to get to our commercial break, and I want to give EJ a minute to himself, too, to kind of before we let him go. So go to you, Jamie, for your game you'd like to bring out to the floor or to the table.
Well, I know it's going to be shocking.
Oh, no. Okay. I'm going to take a guess. Is it the Chargers-Bengals?
Yes. That's the one I want to talk about. Tyrod Taylor. No. Saints-Bucks.
Yeah. I actually thought you were going Chargers-Bengals.
Justin, you don't know me at all.
EJ, I don't know if you know this quick before we get into
why
this.
Why do you got to do this?
Jamie was a Tampa Bay Buccaneers fan for a long time.
He's a Buccos guy.
But he switched to the New Orleans Saints about 3 years ago. He switched teams.
Lame.
I will not let this die.
No. We got to take a poll on this one day.
So once it's to win this game no matter what. That's Garbo.
Let it go.
If when the followers keep climbing, when there's more interaction from our fans and listeners, we're going to get a full final listener. It's going to be option one, you would do it, or two, you're lame as hell. And I bet you lame as hell is 90%. But that's my chirp for the day, Jamie. You got to go. You got to talk about the Saints and Bucks.
Chirp. I mean, Tom Brady looked not ideal. That deep out he threw for the pick six was a bad decision. It's a far throw. But Alvin Kamara looking back to normal, which is great. He's healthy.
He's a freak.
He was terrible. He was so injured last year. And Michael Thomas getting hurt sucks balls big time. But
Chubby Johnson fantasy football team is looking like shit right now. I call my team Chubby Johnson.
All the people that are thinking that the Bucs are just going to cruise through and Tom Brady's going back to the Super Bowl, it's not going to happen.
I think Drew Brees just looked effective in that game. So I know, I still think he can play better.
He's efficient, man.
But exactly. The consistency's there. And Hill, I always forget. Taysom Hill, thank you.
Touch on the consistency. He was 18-30.
Yeah, that's good. I don't think he threw. Was it over 300 yards?
Not his best
game, but I mean. Was it 200 something?
160. It was under two.
So it's like the way that they play in New Orleans. Like Hill, Taysom can jump in there. It's just so much you can do with that team. And the Buccaneers, people are saying, oh, give them a break. This is their first game. Give them a couple times to get the ball rolling, if you will. And
that
I really know.
Defense is far better than people realize.
Yeah, it is. It is. But overall, did Brady, I feel like he looked comfortable. As bad as he, like, not as bad as he played. That's not the best way to put it. But he didn't, he actually, I felt like he looked comfortable in the pocket and throwing the ball. Like, and the, I feel like the chemistry is there. I feel like if you do give him a couple weeks, they might gel. But I think a couple weeks might be a little bit too late.
He looked like 44-year-old Jameis Winston.
Yikes. EJ, what's your thoughts?
Listen, they haven't played a single snap of live football, a lot of these teams, until Sunday. Give Tom Brady 5 seconds to settle in, okay? There's no way that Rob Gronkowski decided to come back and play football to catch 3 passes a game, okay? These players are going to come back. They're going to get better. That's what Brady does. I don't like Tom Brady. I don't like him because he went to Michigan. I don't like him because he won championships with Belichick, who used to coach my Cleveland Browns. I don't like any of it. But Tom Brady knows how to win football games, okay? Whether he cheats at it or not, he knows how to win football games. And you can expect, come playoff time, that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are going to be relevant. Settle in. Tom's going to get better. You're going to say the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in the playoffs this year.
Well, there you go. Jamie, final thought with that before we go to my game quick, and then we get EJ's little final thoughts before we send him off.
Yeah, I mean, I think it probably will be New Orleans and Tampa Bay, the top two in that division, so
we'll see. Keeping it simple. Like that. You don't have any – what about the Tom Brady comment? You have nothing to say with Tom Brady?
I don't hate Tom Brady. I'm a Michigan guy. I like Tom.
Yeah.
And I know Justin and I vary on that one also, but, I mean, yeah.
To get yourself, EJ, and Justin into a room and just argue about players, that would be content we can certainly sell. We might have to arrange that.
We could.
Or maybe we will.
I may just end up drinking too much to argue.
That's the way to do it sometimes. Yeah. So now the game that I'll jump into is I was going to go to discussing the Steelers-Giants, but I think that's a little too obvious. The only thing I'll mention about that game is I feel Big Ben, it's good to see him back. He played well that game. It's unfortunate that Juju wasn't at practice today. Obviously, today with recording, it's Wednesday, September the 16th. A spoiler alert, this isn't live, if anyone didn't know that. But overall, his involvement in the game this week is questionable. Like, they don't know if he's going to be there. Most likely won't be. And the same with Washington. I feel like there's question marks around him this week, too. So I feel Big Ben is going to have to utilize his third and fourth receivers
just
a lot.
Just feed Chase Claypool, baby. Canadian boy. Let's go feed him.
Exactly.
And first career catch, if anybody didn't see that. It was unbelievable.
I really feel like the Steelers played really well, and Jones looks great for the Giants overall. And I kept
He looked okay. Eli Manning.
Don't say he looked great.
I don't think he looked great. I think he looked good. And Slayton, I had him on the bench.
He barely looked alive back there.
He had like a couple just wild throws, but then pulled an Eli and just like, I'll just throw a pick now.
Literally, Slayton, though, like I said, 102 yards, 2 touchdowns. I kept him on my bench, caused me to lose fantasy this week, so that's a big ouch.
I think Danny Dimes had more rushing yards than Saquon in the first half, though.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think Big Ben had more rushing yards than Saquon did at the...
Why did the Giants just keep trying to rush the football? That was terrible.
That's like me trying to play Madden as the Jacksonville Jaguars. Like, all right, dive.
You know what game that I really liked, though, that I wanted to bring to the table before we, you know, get to more of the conclusion of this part one, is the Cardinals 49ers. I am a fan of Kyler Murray. Thank you. DeAndre Hopkins had 151 fucking yards. Okay. That trade for the Cardinals was perfect.
Well, the Texans basically just were like, all right, do you want everybody, and we'll take your terrible running back that's going to be hurt all the time?
Yeah, apparently Jim Rutherford was the GM of the Texans.
Yeah, honestly.
I feel like Jimmy G looked good. He didn't throw any INTs that game, but DeAndre Hopkins, that's the guy this
Hop's
year.
Ridiculous, man.
Literally, 151 yards. Didn't have a touchdown, though. But what I liked was how the Cardinals, I think that's a team that's underrated right now, sort of. I mean, not that everyone said that they were going to be under 500, but there's a lot of media reports
that's
I looked at.
That's arguably the hardest division in football right now.
It is, but I think they're going to finish above 500, the Cardinals.
My pro line ticket was very happy with their win this weekend. There you go.
What about you, EJ? Does Arizona finish above 500 this year?
I don't think so.
Really?
That's a tough division, man. I mean, think about this. Kyler Murray went 26 of 40 in that game with one touchdown and one interception for not even 300 yards. Yeah. Kyler Murray throwing 40 passes in that division is not going to go well. They need a little bit more of a running game. Yes, DeAndre Hopkins is probably the best wide receiver in football right now outside of Michael Thomas. 1 or 2, 1A, 1B, it doesn't matter how you rank those two. They're both incredible talents. That adds to Kyler Murray and what they're trying to do down there with that offense, but they can't have him throwing 40 times a game and being that inefficient and expect the Arizona Cardinals to be successful throughout the entire year. They have to have somebody other than their quarterback running for more than 91 yards in a game. Okay, Kyler Murray ran 13 times for 91 yards. You can't. That's look at Cam Newton. Okay, he got booted from Carolina because that type of style took a toll on his body. Okay, yes, he's gonna be. He had a successful week with New England this year, but he ran the ball 15 times, and I thought that that was a bad idea. So it's not something that's gonna create a long tenure of success, but you can make it work right now, and you got DeAndre Hopkins there. So throw the football. I just don't think Arizona is going to find a way with that much inefficiency at the quarterback position being a plus 500 team this year.
But I think Kingsbury still thinks he's and then it doesn't matter. Just wear all the tread off the tires and then get a new guy.
But he has the. It's frustrating because he has the tools to succeed there. And with Hopkins coming in, I mean,
you still have Larry Fitz in that team, so you got
and you have Larry Fitzgerald
and Christian Kirk.
Yeah, you got a good receiving core.
You're not you don't have slouches. If are you gonna run?
And that defense is okay.
Throw Larry Fitzgerald in the slot. I will take that any day of the week. Yeah. He's gonna catch it every fucking time.
He's clutch. It's fucking clutch.
Larry Fitzgerald will do whatever you ask him to do.
Exactly.
And say thank you.
And he's your team leader.
Too, and he defines loyalty, that guy, to that organization. You know, obviously seeing him lose in the Super Bowl back to the Steelers over about a decade or so ago was, I kind of feel bad now for him, but not the time, obviously, because you see your team win. But hopefully the Cardinals, I feel like they could, a tough division, but hopefully that Cinderella team
this
year to kind of succeed.
Yeah, but that week one win against San Fran head-to-head could come to be big later.
Well, I'm going to say it right now. Here's my hot take. The Cards are going to finish better than the 49ers in that division.
I'm leaving it at that.
That's possible.
EJ, before we go to commercial, let you go because we extended this part a little bit. I'm going to give you the floor on if any final thoughts with this past week, anything you want to bring up. And even if you'd like to bring up your game of the week this week before we let you go, my friend.
Yeah, I know that there's no way that what you just said was true. Whatever. You guys don't know what you're talking about sometimes. Anyways. There's no way that the Arizona Cardinals are finishing better than the 49ers. That's the most absurd thing that I've ever heard. But
just got called out there, Justin.
I'm telling you. Just watch.
No way. There's absolutely no way. They're too much inexperience, not enough defense. No way. San Francisco 49ers have way too good of a defense to slouch. One good game by the Cardinals. They still have DeAndre Hopkins. They'll be competitive, but they're not beating the Niners. Anyways.
I'll bet you 12 border beers on it.
There it is. That's the bet we want.
The border beers. Is that a deal?
Anyways, so my game of the week has got to be the Vikings-Colts. Two teams that are 0-1 that came into the year with high expectations. Look to see Phillip Rivers throw the ball a little bit. Jonathan Taylor, with injuries to that team, looks to be the lead back. He's going to get some more touches this week. Kid out of Wisconsin who set some records for that university. Vikings still have Dalvin Cook. Kirk Cousins coming off of a very efficient year last year. Look to see that be a more competitive game. Look to see that be one of the best games this week.
You know, there's one thing that I can really see here, EJ. I got to get that fire segment between you three going. I feel like that would be just fantastic because I feel like the differences in opinions at this table would be absolutely fire. So I got to maybe arrange another little portion into our schedule when it comes to our In the Pocket segment here on the Game Sports Show. So obviously that's one thing with this week that I feel like it's going to be a lot different than week one. People got got to see the players involved in the new teams. Players got to see the new players you get to play with, a.k.a. Tom Brady, just everything. I feel like week two, week three is going to be the big weeks that might define near the end of the year, because these early wins might become to be big by the end of the season. So before we get into our break, I want to say thank you to EJ Russell, because we're going to go to our break, and myself, Jamie, and Justin are going to have our weekly picks that we have for our own little Game Sports Show Pick'em trophy that we have going on. So, EJ, I want to say thank you very much for coming on, my friend, and we will be talking to you next week on our In the Pocket discussion.
Yes, sir. Thanks for having me, boys. Fun talking to you.
Absolutely.
See you, Chummy.
Now, that was EJ Russell. We're going to take our break. This is a few sponsors, some commercials, hear some voices. Then we'll be back with our picks of week two.
You can follow The Game Sports Show on Facebook and Instagram at The Game Sports Show.
The Game Sports Show is honored to give a shout out to North Shore Sports and Auto, sponsor of The Game Sports Show since January 2016. North Shore Sports and Auto has a brand new beautiful location on 71 Old Garden River Road in Sault Ste. Marie, Ontario. North Shore Sports and Auto Incorporated began in 2008 as a used automotive and recreational vehicle dealer located in Sault Ste. Marie, Ontario. In December 2013, North Shore Sports and Auto officially became a licensed BRP dealership. BRP has been and continues to be a world leader in industry of motorized recreational vehicles and power sport engines for over 70 years. North Shore is proud to say that they carry, support, and service Ski-Doo snowmobiles, Sea-Doo watercraft and boats, and Can-Am all-terrain and side-by-side vehicles. They also have a variety of used automotive and recreational vehicles along with much more to offer. You can check out North Shore Sports and Auto's website at NorthShoreSportsandAuto.com and on Facebook at North Shore Sports and Auto, also on Instagram at NorthShore.Sports. Doesn't matter the season, North Shore has you covered to be able to enjoy it. As a family-owned and operated business, they understand the importance of quality service and products, and they work hard to ensure that all customers have a positive experience before and after each and every sale. North Shore Sports and Auto, they are committed to providing the best products at the best prices.
Welcome back to the Game Sports Show. Yours truly, David McKay, your host of the Game Sports Show here inside Sports Center Bar and Grill. You listen to the game on thegamesportsshow.com and all of our media platforms. I'm here alongside Jamie Antonello, Justin Heichel. We just let EJ go for the rest of the night. We still have to continue our In the Pocket segment, so we're going to jump and right into our picks. We got our weekly picks that we do, and just to give everyone a reminder of last week's picks, you can check out those picks on last week's upload. But last week, yours truly went 10-6 with Justin and Jamie going 9-7 last week. The game that was the difference was the Steelers-Giants, as I picked the Steelers and you guys picked the Giants. What are you guys thinking?
I mean, there's a couple other differences there, Dave.
I think that's the big one, though. You doubted the Steelers.
I think you guys doubted the Cardinals.
That's true.
We did.
We went full back and forth all over the place.
We did. There's a lot. I had a lot of similarities.
Yeah, I wonder where I learned a lot of my football knowledge. Different. Honestly, above 500 week one, not bad.
If we just
especially in COVID.
If we just rated the 1 o'clock games, I would have been spectacular.
Oh yeah, you were 5-0. You were rolling. Moving forward.
I want to say thank you to EJ for coming on. Obviously, he has some good opinions about us guys. Sometimes with. Saying he's giving us some chirps. I like that. His first official show in terms of being a part of the Canadian show cast for In the Pocket. You'll be hearing a lot more of EJ for our In the Pocket segments going forward in our kind of new format here on the Game Sports Show powered by GEM. Make sure you come on down to Sports Center. 75 cent wings right now. And also, we have wings at the table now. We got fries, we got beverages, we got pizza. We also got our radio equipment here. We got people around us looking at us, yelling in the background. It's a whole fun time here at SportsCenter.
What else is new?
Yeah, nothing. It's standard Wednesday.
It's pretty quiet, to be honest.
Actually,
it's been way more chaotic before.
Well, with the Raptors game last Wednesday.
It was busy, yeah.
Get into our picks, though, as mentioned off the hop. Let's go right into it, because we have a little bit less time planned for this segment. Then also we have another segment coming up after this, so we'll be very quick going through this because we have to follow our times.
We're going to
be going through our picks. If you don't know what that is, give you a quick reminder. We're going to name the games of the week. We're going to go around the table, select who we think is going to win, and that is it. That's simple. So we do this so you could have your enjoyment to chirp us through your car speakers or your phone headphones or whatever it may be, or even just to follow our guidelines if you're going to go pick and bet this weekend. And if you're being a betting person, maybe you should look at my picks because I'm the one who was in first last week. Got to have bragging rights once in a while, guys.
Well, you have it for 1 week, and then we'll move forward.
That's it.
First game, I'm going to bring up the, obviously, going to the Thursday night, are the Browns and Bengals. Justin, first.
I'm still on the Bengals train. I think Joe Burrow's the real deal, and I think he's going to teach Baker Mayfield a thing or two about being a first-round draft pick.
EJ might have something different to say about that, I think. Jamie?
Like, what a stinker of a week two Thursday nighter. Like, if we got to talk about it, really. I don't know. I've gone back and forth a million times, but I think I'm going to go with what Justin said. Somehow Joe Burrow is going to figure it out, and hopefully the kicker makes the kick at the end of the game. Cincinnati.
That look on Joe Burrow's face at the end when he... That
wow, he was devastated.
Oh, poor kid.
It's first pro game.
He's very memeable.
Oh, yeah.
I think that he's also going to be waiting another week. I'm going with the Browns this week. I feel like last week against the Ravens, you know, Chubb didn't have a great game. I feel like Chubb, hopefully he explodes, in particular for my fantasy. I feel that the Browns are going to come back. It's a little bit different that game. I've got that feeling against the Bengals. They played against a tough opponent, the Ravens. Bengals are coming back with that heartbreaking loss, but I like the Baker Mayfield. I like Shake and Bake. I think that is what's going to overcome this game is him. Giants, Bears. I'm going to go first on this one, and I'm actually going to go with the Giants. I think the Giants, you know, with Slayton last week, great for him, 2 touchdowns. I feel like he's going to build off the momentum. The Giants offense, I see good youth. I see some potential there. I feel like they're going to come out in week two and take what they've learned against the Steelers and put it into place against the Bears, who walked with a 4-point win over the Lions, which I'm sorry to tell you and remind you, Lions fans, but I got to say the Giants are going to win this one. Justin.
Yeah, I'm leaning towards the Giants. I think the run game is going to come back with a vengeance this week. I think after that poor first half showing from Saquon, I think the Giants are going to tune it in a little bit and feed him the ball. Not so much to steal it like a feed Zeke, but feed Saquon and let it happen this week.
He had a rough week last week. Yikes.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I don't think the Giants are going to fare that much better against the Bears front, so I'm going to go with the Bears.
The Bears?
The Bears.
The Bears. Rams-Eagles, Jamie.
Oof. This is a... without thinking Rams, I have no idea, to be honest, in that one.
You want Rams?
Rams, I guess.
Justin?
I'm basing this pick based off healthy players alone, so Rams.
Yeah, honestly.
We got a clean sweep for the Rams. Actually, I really feel the Rams are going to build off last week and go for it. Healthy was a big part of it as well. Falcons, Cowboys. Justin?
I know I was kind of stroking the Cowboys a little in the last segment there, but shout out to Daner and going for the Falcons.
He'll be happy.
I'm going to go with the Cowboys. I feel like they come back. Zeke is going to have a big game. Pick him if you have him for weekly picks. Whatever betting that you do, got to pick Zeke this week. That rhymes. Jamie.
This is an interesting one. Again, I mean, I feel like there's a lot. This is a tougher week two than I remember in a long time. I'm going to go with Atlanta. I don't love my pick like I haven't the last three, but I'm going to go with the Falcons.
Panthers, Buccaneers. Jimmy.
I'm going to go with the Bucks, but I hope that Christian McCaffrey goes crazy because I have him in all three of my fantasy
Crispy
leagues.
Crispy McChicken looked great last week. I put a little weird emphasis on the chicken part of there. So Crispy McChicken, I like to call him, was extra crispy last week still, despite how the outcome of his team was. Justin.
Yeah. I'm going with the Panthers. I think the receiving core that Carolina has right now, combined with Christian McCaffrey there, the offense has a ton of weapons.
Teddy B.
And to be honest, if you want a good watch, go watch Robbie Anderson learning about Carolina's mascot.
Hilarious. He's a bear, apparently.
Yeah. He's like, what's that bear up in the end zone?
And I had
surfer.
I had this typed on a document before at Buccaneers. I just feel like they're going to come back and battle back this week. Tom Brady is going to prove some people wrong this week, in my opinion, and kind of he's going to have an inconsistent year, but I think this is the week where he's going to explode. So if you have him in fantasy, or even if you have Gronk, he's going to get a touchdown this week too. Bold predictions on my part. 49ers, Jets. I feel like this is an easy answer, but I'll have to go around the table. I'm saying the 49ers. Jamie.
Niners.
Yeah, as much as I trash the 49ers, I don't see them losing to the Jets.
No, I don't see that.
Jets. Broncos-Steelers. I must add that in this game, the Steelers are going to be without Juju Smith-Schuster, it seems, and potentially Washington as well. Big Ben still looking healthy. I'll say it quickly because I'm going to believe in my black and yellow. I'm going Steelers. Not because of a biased fan pick. I just feel the defense looks great. I feel like they, against the Broncos, they could still be the better team even with injuries. Justin.
I personally, I really liked the way the Broncos looked on Monday night.
Played Tennessee well.
They did.
And week one's weird, so I'm going to take the Broncos.
Broncos.
Yeah, I agree with what you said, Jess. I this is almost a toss-up game for me again. So I'm going to go with Pittsburgh.
Oh,
I know, but it's gonna happen. Sorry, Dave. Don't take that one too seriously.
I just took my pick. I like it. You're following my lead. I like that.
Chase Claypool, baby. Let's
there
go.
You go. Jaguars, Titans. Jamie.
Titans.
Yeah. Justin.
So conspiracy theory here, and I think the AFC South is gonna continue with the tradition in 2020 of letting the Jags win to avoid Trevor Lawrence being in the division.
So you're taking the Jags.
I'm taking the Jags.
I'm sorry to say this. This is my sleeper pick, too. I picked the Jags, not because of the division one to win. I just feel like...
You love Minshew, don't you?
I do. Also got Chark in fantasy this week. I'm in place of Juju. Him and Slayton are taking the place of Thomas, and then Juju, my two big receivers, are
that's
on
tough,
the bench.
Both of those guys are on the shelf.
Yeah, two guys on the bench, so I'm going to go with the Jags, though, just for belief for them. Now, Lions, Packers. Jamie.
Mm-hmm. Packers. Yeah. Not much else to say.
Packers.
Sorry, yeah, Lions. But
Lions fans, you know what? I feel bad. You know, like last week, you know, it's... I don't know who I feel bad for, like I said before, Browns or Lions. But overall, you got... If you don't pick the Packers in this game, I think that is silly. I think the Packers are the better team right now. The Lions still don't have a running game established, even when they had AP.
They don't have a lot established.
They don't have
there.
A lot of things going on. The Packers are overall better football team, and I think that's what's just going to win. It's the better football team.
Same old Lions.
That's it.
Bills, Dolphins, very easy answer. That was before. This one may not be, or will it be? I'll say that I think it is, and I'm going with the Bills, and I'm happy to have their defense in my fantasy this week. I bring up fantasy a lot, so everyone knows, because I'm a believer and I want to win the money at the end. But Jamie.
Yeah, I'm still going to go. I'm going to go with Buffalo, but it is a big travel. They got to go all the way to Miami this week, so but I'm going to go with Buffalo.
I'm also taking Buffalo. It's just it's tough because you might get that like one of four games where Fitzpatrick's locked
out. That's it. That's honestly it.
Like, it's so frustrating.
He'll throw a touchdown with 35 seconds left. Yeah. You're like, what happened? Just Josh Allen pulls ain't going down out of the field in 30 seconds.
No,
so.
No. Pull it right out of his ass. Vikings, Colts. Justin, I'll just start typing the fucking answer.
Well, I'm taking the Colts, but like I'm a little nervous because the Vikings know Xavier Rhodes, and I watched Xavier Rhodes try to play football last week, and it was bad. So that's,
Mac being down, man.
Nah, Jonathan Taylor.
Yeah.
I mean, I think what screwed the Colts in week one is that they were on a they were kind of scripted. And when Mac went down, that kind of jammed everything up, and so they had to fly by the seat of their pants, and I don't think they were ready for that.
No. Jimmy.
Another tough game, I think, to pick. Both teams coming off losses, but I'm going to go with the Colts.
I like having different picks than you guys. I'm going with the Vikings. I got no answer. I'm just going with the Vikings, maybe to be different.
I'm finding it hard because usually my like tiebreakers, I lean on the home team, but there's no fans in half these stadiums. Well, more than half, like
limited. Yeah,
that's what I mean. So it's like if it's a big travel, yeah, maybe like guys are worried about getting on the plane with the virus.
If you're in Seattle, is one of the biggest ones. If Seattle's a home team, that's almost a big deal.
Well, I know. Like, there's a lot of like where you're kind of that emotional swing comes into effect in a lot of your picks, and then when it's not there, it's like, fuck.
What do I do?
Yeah, like it just.
Like, I haven't felt this lost picking in a while.
No. Washington, Arizona. I'm going to go first. Arizona. I praise Arizona. Washington had a good week last week, a very convincing win over the Eagles. I like Kyler Murray. I like DeAndre Hopkins. I like what Arizona's doing. Those birds are going to fly, my man. I'm going to tell you that, like Justin said, I forget what you said, but you're finishing
ahead of San Fran.
That's right. That's what you said. I said that they'd finish above 500 this year. They're going to continue that trek. Cardinals. Jamie.
Yeah, I'm going with the Cards as well. I think they're just going to build off, and I think they're going to try and get DeAndre in the end zone for sure. At the very least, Kyler is.
Oh, Kyler. With that bad Madden rating that he has. Justin.
Yeah, I'm taking the Cards.
Yeah, the Cards. Washington Football Club. I might have a bonus question at the end of this segment, just so everyone knows. I might have just given it away right there, but I think we might have discussed it a little bit, but we'll give a final point on it near the end. A little teaser. Ravens, Texans. I'll go last here. Jamie.
Ravens. Texans only have Deshaun Watson and J.J. Watt right now. That's all they
have. Love J.J., though.
He's old. He's 10 years in, though.
Yeah.
Still a stud, but he's 10 years in.
Wouldn't mind him playing with his brother. That'd be pretty sick. Come over to the Pennsylvania black and yellow, bud.
It'd be great, but still, it's
come on over.
Not even a debate.
Justin.
I'm taking the Ravens.
Clean sweep on the Ravens. I'm agreeing. It's Texans. I thought I was going to be more optimistic about them this year. But
I was until I watched the game. Like, I had to do was watch the first half. I was like, not great.
Chiefs, Chargers. I think this is almost an easy answer. So I'm saying Chiefs. Better football team. That's why. Jamie.
Yeah. You're not going to pick against Mahomes unless another team is hot and
heavy.
Has it like one loss.
Justin.
Yeah, I'm taking Darth Andy and the Chiefs.
There it is.
Love that. It's actually the first time I've heard
Guy's
that.
Guy's not going to be able to see, but, man, call a hell of a game.
Man, I was dying.
That was like, so funny.
Because I'm just imagining what Mahomes is hearing in the headset, like his breathing bouncing off the...
Like, that's all he's hearing.
I thought he'd be more like Palpatine, and then Mahomes would be like Darth Vader or something like that. Wouldn't that be kind of the way to go? No.
No. I was just making a joke because the heavy breathing.
He couldn't see. It was fogged up.
That's right.
Fogged up. Fully fogged up.
That's right. Through his mask. Yeah. Yeah, good point.
Needed some Rain-X.
Really did, honestly.
Or put some shampoo, like the old visor trick with hockey. Put some shampoo on those lenses.
Hook a wiper up to it.
Patriots, Seahawks. Good game. That's honestly, that's between this game and the next game is my game of the week, to
that's
be totally
Sunday
honest
nighter,
with you.
Too,
that is a Sunday nighter in Seattle.
Patriots, Seahawks. I'll go first. I'm going to say... And I wish I had him in fantasy, so it's just the first year in the last 4 years I don't have Russell Wilson in fantasy. And I'm really upset. I had to have a moment alone to really reflect. I was really upset. But got to go, and I'm still choosing the better football team here. I think the Seahawks are a better football team. And being at home, I still think it gives them a little bit of an advantage, despite not having that, you know, an in-person attendance of a max crowd. So, Seahawks. Jamie.
Yeah, I'm picking Seattle. I think they're going to win that division. And I think this is going to be an early statement win, despite New England having a lot of turnover. But, yeah, I think Seattle's going to win.
Yeah, I think it's going to be closer than most people think.
Oh, absolutely. The spread's only 4. But, it's not huge.
But Seattle's got this one. I think the Russ-Cam matchup is going to be big. But
yes.
Like, I think this is Russ's year. I think he deserves an MVP. And interesting Russell Wilson fact. In his career, he has received 0 MVP votes.
I love Russ.
I don't know how he doesn't.
That's kind of fucked up, if you ask me.
My dad's a Seahawks fan, so I mean, I always gotta have some love for Russ.
Now,
he's just good, man. I mean, he came in the same time as Andrew Luck, so I can't.
Yeah, they were the same class. Yeah, you're right.
Week 2, finishing off with the Saints and Raiders, Jamie.
NOLA, baby.
Justin.
I'm going to take the Raiders in this one. I think
it's in Vegas.
Michael Thomas going down is going to be big.
Don't worry. Taysom Hill is just going to get like 18 touches now.
Pick him up if you don't have him. I'm going with the Saints. I feel like, again, this is a better football team scenario, an obvious choice. Raiders are coming, though, and I like them being in Vegas. I got to say, I really like that.
It's Monday Night Football with Chris Berman. The Raiders.
The Raiders.
This is my final question to wrap up in the pocket, around the table. We've kind of talked about it before. Washington, where are they going to rename their team? When they rename their team.
If
what are
it's
they
not
be?
The Sentinels, I'm not on board.
Really Why the Sentinels, Jamie? Where's that from?
My favorite movie of all time.
There you go. Shane Falco.
Shane Falco, baby.
Oh, yeah.
Follow that man to the end of the earth.
Yeah, I really don't know.
Who's the quarterback that he replaced? Remember that?
Quiz
question.
Yeah, I always forget
there
his name.
There you go.
Martel.
That is it. That is it. Yeah. Justin.
That was a deep cut.
That was a deep cut, yeah.
I kind of liked the Washington Redhawks name being tossed around.
Redhawks?
There was some sort of historical value to it where I believe it was a group of airmen, like World War II fighter pilots,
and they were all of
Native American descent. I think that was tossed around. I kind of liked that.
That's pretty cool.
Like, it's history. It's, you know, you can do some cool logos and shit with that. And you kind of...
You're not deviating so far away that it's...
You pull on the strings of the Air Force a little bit, too, right? I mean, you buy some goodwill with the people that do a lot for the NFL, so
yep.
I kind of like that one. Or you could keep it as...
You better believe that the flyovers at those games will be wild, then.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I think just in a team that kind of needs a really bad rebrand and to get some public, faith back.
To be honest, if Kansas City had won the Super Bowl, we'd be talking about them being the Kansas City football team pretty soon. as well?
I don't know because that's
I don't think so.
It's different, yeah.
Yeah, there's they're it's much like the Chicago Blackhawks where it's more of a like they're named in honor of not.
Yeah.
You know,
I might see a you might see a logo change with the Chicago Blackhawks down the road. I don't know. I hope not because original six, but
I don't think so.
Because like, I think you have a hawk that's black. That, yeah.
Like the tribe that's it's related to in the state of Illinois released a statement saying like we
support the team.
Yeah.
That you keep it. I'll say the Washington Sentinels. That's what I thought it was gonna be. That I hope it is that.
It's not going to be.
Get the movie rights. Get that. I'm going with that. Leave your vote below for that. Boys, that was kind of a quicker pick'em, a little bit longer than actually we said we would at the beginning. But Jamie, this has been in the pocket. Justin, it's been in the pocket. We're gonna wrap it up right now. I'm gonna let you go, Jamie, right now because you got myself and Justin's gonna do some quick hockey talk just to wrap up the show. So I want to say thank you, Jamie. And we'll see you next week for another In the Pocket segment and any sporadic uploads that we do here on the game.
I'll be here eating chicken wings, man.
Yes, you will. Justin, you're not done yet.
Damn.
Jamie's got wings.
We got a quick commercial break. Promise you, very quick. We come back on just under a handful of minutes of extra content here on the game. Don't go anywhere.
The Game Sports Show and Game Entertainment Media want to give a quick stick tap to livingsisu.com. Sisu is a Finnish word for determination, tenacity, and resiliency. Livingsisu.com wants to activate your lifestyle by offering discounts and exclusive offers from your favorite sports brands. Sign up as free at livingsisu.com, where you will earn instant offers that will help you save on sports tools, products, supplements, and so much more. Be sure to check it all out at livingsisu.com.
Welcome back to the Game Sports Show. Dave McKay inside Sports Center Bar and Grill for his famous 75-cent wing nights. Delicious wings. I know Jamie, who we just signed off on the show, is enjoying his wings right now while Justin and I are completing the show here on this final part. Just over a handful of minutes or so to get into some other content that we're getting into. Just to remind listeners that on our Sports Center editions during the football season, In the Pocket will invade the content. A lot of our hockey editions and a lot of NBA MLB discussions will be on additional uploads or maybe included in our special edition upload, depending on what it may be. In particular with hockey content, lots going on here with the game that you will have to follow. Just make sure you keep an eye on all of our uploading platforms to make sure you keep in contact with everything that we are providing to you. Justin, let's start off with the NHL, shall we?
Yeah, let's dabble in this one a little bit.
And obviously we know that the NHL entry draft is planned to be in mid to late October.
October 6th and 7th.
October 6th and 7th. So early to mid, is what I should say.
Before Thanksgiving.
Yes, that's right. Early to mid October, I stand corrected. Entry draft is obviously we're supposed to be back in June. A lot of movement's going to happen with this entry draft. All right, a lot of things. Trades. You got Seattle coming into the league next year. Teams are going to be strategic going into this year, going into the deadline next year. Everything to ensure that they get value for something opposed to losing something for nothing. Obviously, you're going to lose someone for nothing. But with that, there's going to come a lot of trades. You've already said trades that we discussed actually last week's show. Kasperi Kapanen getting moved to Pittsburgh before. We've talked about that. All the rumor mills with the Leafs going on. We got another trade that we're going to jump into that kind of really doesn't make sense. And I said this at the beginning of the show. We're here on September the 16th. And overall, this is a pre-recorded show. So obviously there might be some more stuff that comes out by the time this upload happens or more rumors. But Eric Staal goes to Buffalo for Johansson going over to the Minnesota Wild.
Yeah, for Marcus Johansson. That doesn't make... I don't know. Johansson scored, what, 9 goals this year? Like, Eric Staal is actually a...
effective player.
A useful... that's a veteran. Bad. I don't want to, like, shit all over Marcus Johansson, because going to Buffalo is almost a death sentence for anyone's career.
Sorry, Colin.
Well, it's just it. People go to Buffalo and nothing really spectacular happens. You know, great things were happening elsewhere. You go to Buffalo and it just seems like there's a stormy cloud and everyone's got a frowny face a week in. So...
yeah.
You know,
I don't know what the point. I think the point was trying to bring in that veteran leadership around the young guys like Olofsson, Eichel,
Dahlin,
Reinhart, and those guys. But they have the guys in place to get it done. I think Buffalo's gonna be a very active team this year, but they need to move pieces. But the big problem with Buffalo is the goaltending. Obviously, you have Pekka Ukkonen is coming up the ranks, but there's that goalie that I think that they're missing. And I think a good goalie that would be a good piece in Buffalo that might enhance him a little bit is Corey Crawford. And the reason why I say Corey Crawford, is he going to want to leave Chicago to go to the Buffalo Sabres? Well, probably not. Flat out going to say that. I'm sure there's other teams that will line up for Corey Crawford that might make a bit more sense. But I think Buffalo will be willing to pay. And if they get a goalie like Corey Crawford that can be a support to Ukkonen when he comes up, I think that's the best situation for the Buffalo Sabres. On defense, they have a surplus of D-men. They need to move that D-core to get a little bit of spice on the forward end. That's what's going to make the Buffalo Sabres succeed. That's my opinion.
Yeah, you know, I really don't disagree with you on that. I never really thought of the goalie angle, and I'm gonna sweeten the pot here a little bit on that one. Now, I don't 100% know what Buffalo's cap situation is off the top of my head, but Washington said they're not re-signing Holtby.
Yep.
What's a better way to get people to buy in and come to your city?
Was it good, though, to bring in Holtby when you have a young guy coming up the ranks who might be there long-term? Would it maybe be wise to trade for Marc-Andre Fleury, potentially?
Well, or that. I mean, like, if you get a guy like Holtby and, say, you offer him 4 years, so there's an out. Yep. You know, you know you're planning on bringing this guy up, so you're being transparent with him. We can move on. You know, you can walk away. It'll give you decent money, but they're shorter term, so...
Yep. Obviously, here on the game, we have a lot of hockey content where we jump in. Hockey, NBA, and MLB. Obviously, hockey is just slightly over our content in terms of in the pocket, those being our two top content that we provide, in particular the special edition uploads. And we've had Colin Miller in our special edition uploads talk about the Buffalo Sabres. And after he left Vegas and went to Buffalo, it was a different sight for him. So, obviously, on our show, we talked everything about Colin Miller. We talked about his season. So, reason why I bring up that show is because when I was talking to Colin, it was kind of a different conversation than what we had him when he was on Vegas. I really think there's pieces in Buffalo. Colin Miller's a piece that I think they should explore moving because I feel like he'd be better fit on specific teams, and Toronto Maple Leaf fans, hold your horses. I'm not saying what you think I'm going to say. And I'm saying Rasmus Ristolainen. I'm a fan of Rasmus Ristolainen. Yes, tell you as a Leaf fan that I think that'd be a perfect fit. I really think it would, but it'd be a steep price. But I think Rasmus Ristolainen and Colin Miller are the two guys that you can dangle to get another forward in there, then maybe explore free agency to get another top four or top six defenseman to round up. Because if you get some good reliable goaltending with some good defensive forwards, some good defensive defensemen around the bottom pair, Buffalo might be playing with something. Boston's getting older. Tampa Bay's looking solid. I don't think they're changing for a few years. Toronto's solid because of their core, but obviously not in the playoffs. The Buffalo has a chance to be a third seed in that division next year. A chance. I'm not saying Boston's going to shit the bed and be an absolute shit show, okay? But maybe Boston's going to start going on another side of things, especially if they lose Krug.
I think Boston's going to look a little more human. That's, yep. I mean, I think...
We think.
We can both agree on that one. Well, they're not going to re-sign Krug. He's not going to take a discount to stay there.
No.
I mean, they're going to bring back Chara if he wants to play. So you're committing a certain amount of money to him in an already cap-crunched year.
Yep. And the cap's not fucking going anywhere.
You don't know what's going on. Is Rask going to... Is he going to come back? Is he going to retire? Like, what's the deal there? There was no talk of retirement, but...
No.
You know, the bubble hockey seemed to have fucked some guys up and made some guys tougher.
Yep.
Rask had a family situation. That's not... I'm not Mike Milburying this. And, you know, being an insensitive douche canoe. But... you don't know. I mean, maybe Boston uses this, you know, changing of the guard to kind of make a change. You know, we can still get something for Rask. Tell Chara, you know, see you later.
Yep.
And I really don't know. It's going to be an interesting year.
It is. Now, the final thing with hockey, so I know we're getting a little bit pushy with time. So to wrap with hockey, we're going to talk a lot. I promise listeners that we will have a show that is considered our Nolan Superior Brewing Company show. We're just in the middle of constructing our home office. Trust me, Jamie has been to where our home office is going to be. There's got to be some work to have. So we project to open that by mid-October. End of October is the goal for the whole office to open up. We still will be doing our Northern Superior Brewing Company editions of the show. There's going to be more sporadic couples. So we will have more hockey content that we'll bring forward. We're just getting a little teaser here to hopefully transition to that to be our next news upload, or at least maybe do more kind of content with hockey on our next Wednesday show here at SportsCenter. But Alex Pietrangelo is the last thing I want to say quick. I've had enough of these rumors of Alex Pietrangelo going to Toronto. I'm sorry, I'm taking my host hat here off, but no, just saying, if you're a Toronto fan, Pietrangelo is awesome. He is. He's a great defenseman, okay? But get it through your fucking heads.
There's not a luxury tax in the NHL. Yeah, like other
people
like
are
that.
Fucking talking about here. Unless Petrangelo is going to be like, hey, I'll take $6 million. What?
$6 million. $6?
Yeah, like $6 million's even too much. At the end of the day, Colton Parayko makes sense in a trade. If you move Nylander out, people are like, well, if you move Nylander out for Petrangelo, that makes sense. Yeah, sort of, I guess. If
he's
you wanna,
a free agent.
But what are you going to sign Petrangelo for 7 years at eight per, and it's just $1 million more than Nylander, a guy who's 30 years old, who, let's get real, has a defensive game that might not be relevant after 5 years?
I really think like we have to, if we're doing the fan hat thing here, we've got to get rid of that pipe dream where we need this. I think we really got to come to the...
We by Toronto.
Yes, like as Toronto Maple Leaf fans, as the fans here,
yeah.
We've got to come to the understanding that Morgan Rielly is probably our guy.
Yep.
Morgan Rielly is going to be the Toronto Maple Leafs version of Victor Hedman or what you're seeing right now.
He's not Victor Hedman.
No, but
yep.
You know what I mean.
Yeah, I
like he's your number one. That's what you got.
Yep.
All right, then you got Muzz. And then you've got to do what...
Sandin Lindgren.
Look at Tampa's fucking defensive lineup right now. They've got $1 million invested, $1 million bucks here, $1 million bucks here, $1 million bucks here. Ryan McDonough, Shattenkirk.
Cheap, cheap.
You know what I mean? And these guys have fucking just, they paid their dues in the NHL, and guess what? We're here to win now.
Yeah.
You've got to find guys like that. Like, you got $4 million bucks, and you got four guys that have all been on an all-star team.
Yep.
Like, stop looking at this, you know, okay, we got to get this guy for 7 years, $20 million. Like, it's not... It's not working.
No.
Now look at Tampa. That seems to be working. Everyone 2 years ago said, what's Tampa going to do? They got all this money committed to these guys.
Yeah, look what
they did. All right, now we're sitting here going, oh, fuck me.
Yeah.
You know, so I think there's something to be said, too, for the cheap veteran route. Yeah, like you and I touched on earlier, adding some grit, like a guy like Wayne Simmons. Not going to cost a lot.
Joel Thornton, baby.
Spets is the guy.
Yeah, well, he is. You could bring him both.
No, you can't.
You can't have both in there?
No.
You don't think so? I think you could. I think that would
work.
Because
you get a point where you're too slow.
But Spence, maybe he doesn't play as many games next year because he is older. Same with Joe. Maybe you rotate him for, what's that called? Load management.
So are you saying RB1, RB2 kind of deal?
Yeah.
Except it's center one or center four.
Line four. Yeah, like, that's exactly what it is. There's no big... Joe Thornton, 41. He's not getting faster. He's not getting younger. He wants to win. He can be a big part of that room.
Well,
Wayne Simmons, you were right. Now you look at the Ottawa Senators. That's a team that's retooling. We know that their rank needs to go somewhere else. But that's another conversation.
Well, Borietsky said he doesn't want to play in Ottawa anymore.
No, and there's a good... affordable fit. So you're bringing up points. Like, you've got teams like Toronto, teams like Montreal, the Edmonton Oilers. Hey, I'm sorry, Oilers fans. Like, I don't feel bad for you because you've had how many first overall picks, and a lot of them have been busts. One of them's been traded. One of them's in the KHL. The other one has turned into a Nazem Kadri type player, Nugent Hopkins. He's better than Kadri.
I was going to say, he went to another team and got them almost to the conference finals.
He's better than Nazem Kadri. But at the end of the day, Connor McDavid's been their most successful number one pick. Their best picks has been a first overall and a third overall, McDavid and Draisaitl. Okay, Darnell Nurse has been a decent fit, and the Oilers fans are trying to kick him out of town already so they can get more help back there. Listen, at the end of the day, the best fit for Petrangelo is on the Winnipeg Jets. I'm flat out saying that to everybody. That is the best pick. That is where Alex Petrangelo will end up. If there is a second team that he is going to end up on, it's back in St. Louis.
Yeah,
I don't really care. I don't
see the Blues given the current train of success. That's
no, but going forward to wrap up with hockey, we'll get into more of that. But the Canadian teams, Justin, we're gonna do more of a take going into after the playoffs are done. We're gonna do a playoff reaction right now. Tampa Bay is still going into Game 6 in their series against the Islanders. As I mentioned, it's pre-recorded, so we don't know what's going to happen. But the waiting Dallas Stars, they defeated Vegas in overtime. Gotta feel bad for Zach Whitecloud. Getting that puck out of in the stands. The young kid felt very bad. You can imagine how bad he feels. Your team's down 3-1, though. That wasn't his fault. This team was down 3-1. Dallas was a better team in that series, but they're not the better team overall. I'm surprised they didn't consider going to Fleury. I'm sorry. I won't even open that can of worms.
No, you know what? Here's my take on that. Is starting Fleury in the first game is what fucked the whole situation to begin with. Goalies are like it's like trying to grow fucking plants. If you kind of move the plant out of the sun a little bit, it's fucked. If you mess the, if you change the goalie's seat on the plane, he's fucked. You know, like they're weird.
Yeah.
Yeah. Everyone knows.
Yep.
That's a.
And we'll get into a more of a recap for the playoffs and then going into the offseason, in particular when Dane Hanschel, one of our original OGs, comes home in a couple weeks.
Not going to send Dane to California?
No, we should. We should see if he's a free agent. Maybe somebody will pick him up. MLB, I'll quickly say the Blue Jays had some struggles against the Yankees in the current series. The MLB, there's been, it's still rolling. You know, the season is still going. You know, there's been no postponements. There's been some positives happen in the season with being able to continue the year. It's a shortened season. We'll see what happens. The Blue Jays are fighting hard for a playoff spot. They've looked rough against the Yankees here. But overall, this is a very young and such a highly potential team. It's going to be fantastic for them going forward. We'll get into some more baseball. The reason why I bring up baseball is because we will have Connor Henderson doing a baseball separated segment as well. They'll connect with either one of our shows or his own upload. As I mentioned, I must remind listeners that we'll have a lot of baseball as the season gets to that wrap-up point in the shortened year. NBA, the Raptors are done. On our last broadcast, we had the Raptors going into Game 7. Against the Celtics and Pascal Siakam, I'll name the event, the name the obvious here. He was invisible for the entire Game 7. And he's faced a lot of criticism, but give the kid a fucking break. If you're expecting this kid to be the next Kawhi Leonard, take a fucking halt. This kid's good. I don't know if he's going to be Kawhi Leonard.
What do you want him to be the next Kawhi Leonard? What, to lose in Game 7 of the fucking...
Now let's get to that. Jamal Murray and the boys.
If you want him to be Kawhi, you did a pretty
good job.
Jamal
Murray and the boys beat Kawhi Leonard, and Kawhi Leonard is not going to the finals. The next thing I need is for the Nuggets to defeat the Lakers and see Jamal Murray go to the finals. That is something I'd love to see. That is something I'd love to see and that I really want to see.
That's all right. Give Kawhi more time to spend at home.
Yeah, but homeless family and his load management can really spike up now on top
him
of everything.
Steve Ballmer can hang out in L.A.
Raptors this year, got to get Masai Ujiri an extension. The Giannis rumors are just flying. Got Chris Paul rumors going to the Milwaukee Bucks. The Heat are looking solid right now at this current date. They're 1-0 on the Celtics in the series. The Nuggets and Lakers start on Friday. Listen, I'm telling you right now, the Heat play on Thursday, sorry. Then they play on Saturday, I should mention. The Nuggets start on Friday. So the Heat, though, I have a feeling about the Heat. They did just squeak by in the first game in overtime. But Jimmy Butler and the Heat are on fire right now. They're feeling it. I can't see them losing to the Celtics.
No, I can't. I know we still got a series to get through.
The Raptors would be in just as much trouble, man. Telling you, the Heat are looking good right now.
But I'm really looking forward to the Heat in Denver playing it out.
That'd be something in the ball. Let's see LeBron, see Kawhi all take a break. Hey, Kyle and Pascal, they won a title last year. They just need a quick break. Next year they come back. They have a strong year. Then the year after, we get Giannis Antetokounmpo. That's how it's going to go here. And I say we because of Canada. So Raptors fan, there is optimism. Not being really professional with saying that we're going to get Giannis, but the rumors are looking great overall for the Raptors. A big thing. But the one thing I want to make sure I bring up is that you got to re-sign Masai Ujiri. Got to get that guy a blank check and tell him what the fuck do you want? How much will it take for you to stay here? End of story. Justin, thank you.
Hey, no problem. I'm always down to come up for wings on Wednesdays. So.
Oh, yes, you are. Boneless wings.
Yeah, always boneless.
It's been the Game Sports Show, powered by the Game Entertainment Media. You've heard it on the GameSportsShow.com, Spotify, Apple, Podbean, Podtail, or Amazon podcast platforms, or even directly through Facebook and or Instagram. Make sure that you check all of our sponsors on our website. Make sure you check out our website. Make sure you hit the copy bookmark where you can put it on your phone desktop and also just on your favorites on your computer and or handheld device so you can always access the Game Sports Show to keep up with our fantastic content. And if you have any comments, don't hesitate to leave them below. And make sure you check out our Monday ESPN 1400 edition and Tuesday Gavin Morgan interview upload for this past week. That will do it for shows for this entire week. We'll be back on Monday for ESPN 1400 edition with myself, Scott, EJ, and Butch slated to be back with next week's special edition upload. And let me tell you, just because if you've listened to the show in this entirety to this point, we thank you, but I will spoil to you that Zach Vucali will be our episode upload next week. And it's an absolute big show, which can lead us to announcing that you must have heard on previous shows of the Living Sisu partnership. Living Sisu will be involved with the Gain Sports Show now. Make sure you check that out. That's Zach Vucali's business. And reach out to me in terms of getting some good promo so you can get a part of their website and all their discounts that they get to offer on Living Sisu. But Zach Vucali will be on our show next week. He joins myself and Alex in our special edition upload. So lots of big things coming up for the show. Hit like, follow, and subscribe on all the platforms. Thank you for listening. I'm here to remind you to keep your stick on the ice, swing your bat, catch your touchdown, drain your threes, and shoot your shots. Booyah.